After this week's big raindrop, the governor has declared a state of emergency. Landslide danger is high. So are the rivers. This morning, I talked with a farmer named Misha Eyed. She and her husband own Bright-Eyed Acres in the Snohomish River Valley. They raise chickens and sheep and goats and cows and pigs. And this morning, Misha canoed. She canoed to her neighbor's house.
They actually have our goats and our sheep over here, so we came out to feed them, and I'm sitting on their porch looking down at our farm. It's kind of a fun exercise.
What do you see as you're looking down at your farm?
Just water everywhere. It's a giant lake, basically. It's really beautiful.
It's beautiful?
Yeah, in a weird way. Yeah, it's eerie, but, you know, we're in a floodplain, and this is what happens.
How much of your farm is flooded?
It's starting to recede a little bit, but pretty much every acre of farmable land was underwater. We have a few high spots where we have some outbuildings and things like that that were dry, but all of the low-lying acreage was under.
You have hundreds of animals, chickens, goats, sheep, pigs. What do you do to protect the animals when you hear that the Snohomish River is about to flood?
This is only our third season farming here, and in our previous winters, we'd had some minor flooding, but we still had plenty of high ground at the farm, so we would just move our animals to spots that are historically high ground. The last flood we had a few weeks ago was the worst we'd seen, and we moved all of our animals up into a hill that was a man-made hill, and it has a hay barn, and we just stuffed all of our animals in there. But the water got really close. And so this time around, when they said it was going to flood, they actually predicted it to flood worse than last time. Thankfully, it didn't. It actually came in a few feet under. But we just decided we weren't going to risk it. So we contacted a bunch of neighbors, and we just moved all of our animals out up onto real high ground across the street. So we're very grateful to have really good neighbors.
You moved hundreds of animals. How do you transport hundreds of animals through a flood?
Well, this time of year, we actually have less animals than we would in the summer. So we do have about 100 laying hens, but at night they all go into a trailer, and so we can just shut their doors so they can't come out, and then we just hauled the trailer up at about 4 p.m. before the flood. So that was pretty simple. And then all of our goats and sheep actually fit into a stock trailer all together, and it was a short drive, so they were pretty crammed, but we just drove them straight across the street. And then we have two female pigs called sows for breeding, and we use the same stock trailer and hauled them out. So we just made a few trips. And then there are cows on the farm, but they have a really big pile that they were herded up onto, so they're still high and dry. So thankfully it doesn't flood in the summer. That would be a lot harder because we also raise a lot of broiler chickens, and we had turkeys. Our last flood happened before we had slaughtered our Thanksgiving turkeys, and that was an extra level of stress with those guys.
You make this sound so easy, Misha.
We're getting a little bit used to it, which is kind of unfortunate, I guess. This has been kind of a really strange year. I mean, we had this serious drought in the summer that really for farmers was a big struggle. I mean, for us raising animals, it was just hard to make sure everybody had water and stayed cool. Our pigs were getting overheated. But for the vegetable farmers in our area, it was definitely really challenging. And now it's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. So I guess we just have to learn to roll with the punches.
Yeah, a lot of punches. You and your husband moved here from the slightly different climate of San Diego.
Yes.
This is your third year on the farm in the Snohomish River Valley. How have you been coping with the extreme, the punches?
I have a really good support network, and I think that's something that a lot of us farmers have to rely on, just living out in the country and knowing your neighbors and having good neighbors. We're fortunate enough to be across the street from Bob's Corn Pumpkin Farm, and they're a big October corn maze pumpkin patch, but they're also just this really loving family, and they have an old barn, and they said, no problem, bring your sheep and your goats up here, and they're giving us coffee, and anytime we need anything, we can come over here. And we have a friend who just lives around the corner, and he's taking care of our other animals, you know, no questions asked. Everybody's been really supportive, so lots of offers of couches and showers and things like that. So we feel actually really fortunate to be where we are.
So this terrible flooding means trouble, but community as well.
Yes, definitely community.
Well, what will you and your husband do next? What's your next move?
Our immediate move is just to wait for the waters to recede and then bring our animals back. We may try and see if we can find some overwintering for them off farm so that we don't have to worry about another flood, because it is still early in the season, and if we get another big snowstorm up in the mountains and then another big Pineapple Express, we could have another flood. But you know, the winter time is normally a time for us to relax and do a lot of planning for next season, and we're still hoping for that, but we've had a lot less time to kind of just think and prepare and plan for next season because we've been doing a lot of scrambling. Yeah, I don't know. We have to plan for next season if we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and that's what we really want to do. So we just keep going forward.
Misha Ide keeps going with her husband. They own the farm Bright Eyed Acres, and she talked to us from her neighbor's porch in the Snohomish River Valley where she canoed this morning. Thank goodness for neighbors. Hey, Nick.
Hey there.
State climatologist Nick Bond is here. I don't see paddles, so I guess you'll be able to walk.
My socks are wet.
Yeah. Why are we getting this much rain?
Well, it's maybe it's an admission of defeat, but it's just one of those things. It's kind of the natural variability in the weather and so forth. And obviously, it has been really wet. And I sympathize with their plight there, and especially the whipsaw going from the drought and hot conditions in the summer to, you know, all the rains and flooding we have right now.
That is amazing. Drought and then deluge. Is it climate change?
No.
Okay. Done.
Yeah, that's right. And we are expecting more floods with the future climate as the climate warms, heavier rainfall events, more rain than snow in the mountains. But this here is just kind of a cruel joke by Mother Nature.
Okay, it's a cruel joke. Is it a Pineapple Express? You heard Misha use that phrase in that interview.
Yeah, that's not a bad phrase here. Yeah, certainly, it's a long fetch is sometimes the term of westerly flow across the Pacific, tapping kind of the air from warmer climates. And so, yeah, that's okay.
Is it an El Nino?
We really haven't seen El Nino's effects yet, and I'm a little surprised, not astonished by that. It usually kicks in more after the first of the year, but we haven't really gotten into the weather patterns with El Nino yet.
Okay, and then meanwhile, there's the blob.
Well, yeah, it's still, the water isn't quite as warm as it was last year, but it's still warmer than normal off our coast, 2 to 3 degrees Fahrenheit or so. And that is kind of stacking the deck for a little bit warmer than normal weather when the winds are from the west like they have been this last week or so. And but it's still whatever weather pattern you're in is going to dominate the weather. And so we can just looking ahead. We're going to go into a cooler, drier pattern here in a few days, and so these floods should subside.
And do we know what kind of winter it's going to be? Well, cooler and drier in the next few days, and then what?
Well, it's for the winter as a whole, I think it's going to be on the definitely on the warm side, and especially after the first of the year, and maybe on the dry side, but boy, that's not certain at all about that.
Okay. Can I ask you about something else?
Sure.
Lightning. Have you been seeing more lightning lately? This is Seattle. What's up with the lightning?
Yeah, we get lightning occasionally, very occasionally, all times of year. Of course, there was a dramatic storm a couple of mornings ago. It's an open question whether it's becoming more frequent or not. There's some tentative evidence in summertime it's increasing and maybe decreasing a little bit in spring. And it's something I'm particularly interested in. And we're kind of anticipating that maybe, you mentioned climate change, that it is going to become slightly more frequent. It's never going to be anything like Florida in the summer or anything like that. But it is something we're keeping an eye on.
Okay. So to recap, it may be a cruel joke. It may be a long fetch. I've never heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
But in any case, you think it's going to be cooler and drier, at least for the next few days.
Well, we do have one more storm coming in on Saturday. And so, but after that, there's going to be a shift in the pattern. After that, a break from the flooding and some mountain snows to build up to a certain extent, which is good news.
Okay. Possible inner tubing soon? My kids, that's all they want to know, Nick Bond.
Yeah, next week.
Next week, okay. Nick Bond told you, honey. Nick Bond is the state climatologist. Always good to see you. Thanks for getting here, however you got here.
Yeah, thank you.